started to look at government and how God instituted or delegated authority to man, and that ultimately grew into what we now know as the institution of government. So we're going to kind of continue on that theme today, and just as a reminder, the reason that we're looking at this is not necessarily to complain about our government or to give me an opportunity for 30 minutes to talk about what, you know, my views on how things should be in our government today. But the reason we're looking at this, although, you know, that wouldn't be bad either, but the reason we're looking at government right now is we're looking at the four institutions of authority that God has given to man to keep sin from spreading in our communities and controlling our lives. And so that's really kind of what we're trying to get to. That's really what we're trying to understand. What is it that government does or is supposed to do that God wants them to do? And so just as a quick review of last week, we looked at our sin nature and how we have a sin nature that we received from Adam. And because of his disobedience, now we have that same nature that desires to sin. And so because of that, we do not naturally govern ourselves the way that we should all of the time. And so when we do not govern ourselves the way that we should, we have need of someone to govern over us. And so we looked at that last week. You can go back and on the website, parksandbaptist.com, and you can look at that, or you can go to the Facebook page and get the video version. We also looked at God's delegation of authority through the Noahic Covenant, how after the earth was flooded, and then the ark rested, and Noah got off the ark, then there was a covenant made with Noah, and it was a delegation of authority. No longer would God directly judge man for murder, but then man was given the responsibility themselves to enact justice in those situations. So this morning now we're going to look at kind of the extension of that, which is the development of the law of Moses. We see that first of all, it was given directly by God. And we see that in Exodus chapter 19, 1 through 6. It says, "On the third new moon, after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai, that they set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they camped in the wilderness, and there Israel encamped before the mountain, while Moses went up to God. And the Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, 'Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all the peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel.'" And so then Moses went down and talked to the people, told them what God had said, and they agreed, and they said, "We will do as the Lord says." So we see that God gave the law directly to Moses. This was not man's wisdom. This was God's design. And that law was then given to the children, taught to the children of the people who were there at Mount Sinai, so that they then learned what it is that God wanted them to do. And we see this in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, the instruction to parents. It says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And then verse 20 through 25 says, and when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? And then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe, against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. And then he brought us out from there, that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all of these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And then it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God as he commanded us. You see, God did not give them commands just to give them something to do. He wasn't up there thinking, you know, if I don't give these Israelites something to do, they're just going to go wild. No. He knows the natural tendency of man. He knew that they had a sin nature. And so he laid out commands for them to observe so that they could be righteous, so that they would know the right thing to do. And then we see that the law was then executed by the judges and the priests. In Exodus 18, 10 through 24, we see the account of how Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, told him about developing this system of judges that was in Israel. It says in verse 10, And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord, who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and who has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. For I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods. For in the very thing in which they behaved proudly, he was above them. And then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and other sacrifices to offer to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. So we see here Jethro has come to where the children of Israel are. He is saying, you know what? I see what God has done in your guys' life, and I recognize that your God is above all, even over Egypt, who enslaved you. And so he gave a sacrifice to God. And then he was there visiting his family, observing what was going on. And it says, and so it was on the next day that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. And so when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, what is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone, or why do you alone sit, and all the people stand before you from morning until evening? And Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people have come to me to inquire of God. When they have a difficulty, they come to me, and I judge between one and another, and I make known the statutes of God and his laws. And so Moses' father-in-law said to him, the thing that you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out. For this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. Listen now to my voice, and I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people, so that you may bring the difficulties to God, and you shall teach them the statutes and the laws, and show them the way in which they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such to them to be rulers over thousands, rulers over hundreds, rulers over fifties, and then rulers over tens. And let them judge the people at all times. And then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge. And so it will be easier for you, and for they will bear the burden with you. And if you do this thing, and God so commands you, then you'll be able to endure, and all this people will also go to their place in peace. And so Moses heeded the father of his, and Moses heeded the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he said. So here we have this idea of the lesser magistrate, right? The lower courts, if you will, all of those things where there's a hierarchy, right? If the Supreme Court had to hear every single case, we would never get it. I mean, even now it's hard to get a court date, right, for different things. It's hard, you know, our Constitution requires justice to be swift, and even now it's difficult for that to happen. But if the Supreme Court had to hear every case, we would be forever without justice. And so we see here that Moses' father-in-law said, develop this system of judges, and that's what was done. So we see that God developed the law, God gave it to the people, and then the parents and the judges, all of the people worked together to establish and keep the law as what was being implemented. So now we come to this third point, the success of government. What is a successful government? What does that look like? Well, first of all, we have to look and answer the question this: what is the job of government? What is government's responsibility? And I think we can see this in Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. God is telling Joshua, he's getting ready to take over for Moses. Moses has just died. Joshua's going to take over and lead the people into the promised land. And God is telling him that he is going to be with him. God is telling him what he ought to do. And this is what he says in verses 5 through 9. It says, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." What was God telling Joshua as the head of the government of Israel? In order to be successful, you must do what I command. You must follow God's ways. Did they do that? What's the difference between a successful government and an unsuccessful government? Well, we also see that in Judges chapter 2. So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works the Lord which he had done for Israel. And now Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. And they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of Mount Gaash. And when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. And then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were already around them. And they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And so he delivered them into the hands of plunderers who despoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were greatly distressed. So here we see that when Israel followed God, when Israel did what was right, when they followed God's commands, they were blessed. And God was for them. And God went out and fought their battles. But when Israel disobeyed God, and when Israel went off and pursued other gods and did what was wrong, then God allowed them to reap the natural reward of their iniquity. Which was corruption. And that corruption leads to great amount of distress. Verse 16, nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who had plundered them, and yet they would not listen to their judges. But they played the harlot with other gods and bowed down to them. And they turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked in obeying the commandments of the Lord. They did not do so. And when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of their judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who oppressed them and harassed them. And it came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they reverted back and behaved more corruptly than their fathers by following other gods to serve them and bow down to them, and they did not cease from their own doings nor from their own stubborn way. So what do we see? The reality is the head of government is a mere reflection of the people it serves. Oftentimes we don't like to hear that. But the head of government is usually just a mere reflection of the people it serves. There's an old saying that you get the government that you deserve. And that usually means it's up to the people, right? Here in America, we directly choose our leaders. And none of us are happy with any of them, right? I mean, yeah, we want the guy that I picked, but there's a lot of division in our country. But it's not over an individual. The question is, are we going to follow God's laws? Are we going to do things in the way that's righteous? Or are we going to do things the way that we want, the way that we feel, the way that feels good to us? And if we want to have success in government, we have to follow the design that God has given us. And we must follow His laws and commandments. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your word. Lord, we thank You for the way that You have directed us to see, Lord, what is good and right. Lord, we have Your laws. We have Your commandments, Lord, and they are perfect. They give us the right things to do at the right times so that we know how to worship you, so that we know how to do what is righteous in the land, so that we can prosper. But Lord, so many times we are desiring of things that are not ours, that do not belong to us, and so we want what we don't have. We lust after more. And so we revert to ways that are not righteous. And Lord, we bring shame upon all of us. Lord, as we continue to look at government and its responsibilities, Lord, I pray that we would even reflect on our own lives. It's easy to point the fingers at the people at the top and say they're not doing a good job. But Lord, we have a responsibility to live righteously even when the heads of government are not. We have a responsibility to go out and teach what is right and good in our communities even when other people aren't doing it or they aren't following it. So Lord, I pray that you would convict our own hearts, Lord, to teach our children what is good and what is right and to be faithful to it, Lord, even in the days to come, even when we're no longer here, that we would raise up the next generation to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.